Blog Talk Radio.
Muscle aches, rashes.
To find an answer.
Hair loss. I'm so tired.
You need to ask your doctor the right question.
Could I have lupus?
For answers, for support, for hope, visit couldihavelupus.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Office on Women's Health and the Ad Council.
Good evening and welcome to this special edition of Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. I'm your host, Joy Keys. I want to thank you for tuning in. You can follow me on Twitter.com/Joy Keys, and you can become a fan on Facebook. Just look up Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. Also, send me an email. I would love to hear from you. My email address is SaturdaysWithJoyKeys@Hotmail.com. I really encourage you to follow or become a fan because I'll be giving away some goodies this evening, and the only way to do that is if you follow or you're a fan. You're not going to know. So check those two things out. This evening, wow, multifaceted person. She's an actress, she's a dancer, she's a producer, she's a mentor. I mean, she's just multifaceted. She was a beauty queen. I mean, she is the total package. So this is Asha Kamali May, and she's an actress on Milk and Honey series, but she's also the producer of the series. And she's a dancer. You might have seen some of her choreography or Kiki Palmer's videos, Akilah and the Bee, different places. She's been in different commercials, K-Swiss, Papa John's, Rockaware. And she's been in a lot of different independent films that have been featured in the Pan-African Film Festival, the San Fran Film Festival, all over the place. She's, like I said, multifaceted. So good evening, Asha.
Wow, good evening. That was some kind of intro. Thank you.
Well, I mean, look, with no need to hide, no need to hide who you are. You know, you got all these talents. We need to let the world know about it.
Okay. I appreciate it. You know, it's funny when you hear... You hear yourself, you know. It's an interesting experience. But yes, thank you so much.
Yeah. No problem. So let's start with the beginning. Let's start. Why don't you tell the audience about your name and the meaning of your name?
My name, like my siblings' names, is Swahili. My parents were very very thoughtful in terms of naming us. My name is Swahili. My first and middle name is Asha Kamali, and it means protective spirit of life.
Beautiful, beautiful. And so
yeah.
What other names, do you mind talking about your siblings? What other names do they have?
Oh, absolutely. So I come from kind of my parents were very, I'm interested in culture, especially African culture. My father has been to Africa several times, and my parents were just very involved in that type of movement in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
I'm born and raised in Chicago. So my siblings' names, I have two sisters, and they're Swahili as well. I'm the youngest of three girls. My oldest is Adia Zaree, and her name means beautiful gift from God in Swahili, and my middle sister is Adama Shani, and her name means marvelous child of beauty. So
wow,
I got
awesome. Well, kudos to your parents. A beautiful name.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I really appreciate, you know, having that purpose, you know, from early on. I remember being younger and thinking, I wish my name had beauty or, you know, beautiful in it. It does not. But I still do enjoy my name and really do value it. Yeah.
No, very beautiful. Beautiful. So now how did you get involved in the arts? I mean, like I mentioned earlier, you're multifaceted, not just one avenue, not just acting, not just dancing, you're producing, you're doing all these. What sparked this interest? Why not an engineer? Why not a doctor? You know, why not a librarian? What was the arts? How did you get connected to that?
You know, I think that, you know, it was a purpose that was given to me before I was even born, to be really honest with you. My family is very artistic. My mother, my grandmother, just artistic family. My mother's an artist. And she just excelled in all arts. She's had, you know, pieces in museums or in a museum and gallery. But I think that arts was just a really great way for me to express myself. And I think that it was really promoted in my household with my mom. I mean, she kept us in everything artistic. But I do think it was really purposeful. Back to the meaning of my name. My name means protective spirit of life. And I think that art, and to create art, you have to be a protector of life. Images in art and media are the most powerful. They dictate culture. So I just think that it was really purposeful in terms of who I am and who I was meant to be.
almost like your fate. It was your fate to be an artist. It was
absolutely. Absolutely.
You mentioned your parents being a type of role models in a sense to you and guiding you toward the arts. Who else did you have in your life as a role model? Was there a teacher, or did you look up to any actors or actresses that kind of helped, like, encourage you and gave you the energy to move on and continue on?
Yeah, absolutely. I had probably a board of directors of influences. I always talk of influencers, you know, that were dance teachers and drama teachers and just my teachers and Girl Scout leaders and my mother's, you know, great friends, her sister mm-hmm. friends. I had a bevy of people around me that were really key into developing the woman I am today. So, I mean, I still keep in touch with my dance teacher from Beasley Academic Center in Chicago, Ms. Howard. She was instrumental in my life, and Miss Brooks, and I mean, I try to keep in touch with all the people who kind of helped create me. I had a drama teacher who was my mother's sister friend, like a mother to me, Miss Muhammad, who was, for me, I mean, dance always came easy to me, but, you know, as a drama teacher, she was the one that said, you got something special, you know, and
yeah.
It really pivotal for me. So, yeah, I had so many people that, especially being the youngest of three girls, I mean, I almost feel guilty sometimes, and that's why it's so pivotal for me to give back to young women and just anybody. Anybody I can help, I'm just all about that because I've gotten so much help. I mean, I have received so much help. I can't tell you.
Yeah. Well,
absolutely.
I mean, you touched on a couple important issues, how these mentors affected your life, and I talk all the time on the show encouraging people to mentor young people. I mean, we're always complaining about the state of young people. I've done several shows on the state of young black women, black men, boys, everything. And the key comes down to, well, what are you willing to do to help them? They are lost, obviously. They don't have mentors. And I'll tell you, I went to elementary school that had performing arts, and recently one of my dance teachers passed away. And I'm past 40.
Wow.
This was a long time ago. But that's how much that woman affected my life. I still remember her. I still remember, you know,
first
position, second position, third position, you know. And it's so important to have mentors in your life. And the other thing you mentioned was about giving back. Let's talk a minute about your organization. You have an organization for kids. So tell us a little bit about that. You actually said you're doing two different organizations you're working with.
Absolutely. Well, the first thing, my ministry really, I mean, if I can just really be honest with you, I'm very clear. You know, I know that I'm put in front of the camera and, you know, people write about me or you know, say great things about me like yourself, because I know I'm put here for a greater calling, and I know that I'm supposed to uplift young women, especially brown women. So I have a foundation. Well, not really a foundation, but what I do is Asha Kamali Arts. I work with a school in Compton where I do a performing arts program, and it's volunteer-based, and I do that, which is weekly. And then I'm getting ready to start up another season there. Actually, Barack Obama Charter School in Compton is the school I go to. And then I also, my sister and I, started a nonprofit called Collegewood. And we just saw a lot of disconnect in terms of opportunities for people of color in this industry. My sister and I both went to Howard University, so we did a program called Howardwood 2 years ago.
I saw that, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and we bring back people in front and behind the camera to the universities. We're sponsored by NBC and DreamWorks and Fox. So we have branched off now to call it Collegewood because we've gotten so many other schools that have interest in us doing the same thing. So we're going to FAMU this fall and doing FAMUwood. We're going to do Howardwood again. We're going to kind of do a tour and then go to the AUC, Spelman Morehouse, Clark Atlanta, and do AUC Wood. So,
awesome.
You know, it's really
awesome.
Important to me, you know, as I rise, you know, I can't wait. You know, I really, honestly, ideally, it would be great if I could just wait and kind of put everything into my career and get myself going and, you know, but at
right.
the end of the day, it can't wait. You know, we need help. Students need help now. We need to change the playing field now, you know? So my sister
and
I was...
That's great, and there's a lot of people that you can bring to those presentations. There are so many talented people, such as yourself, but there are so many others. But unfortunately, people may not be aware of them, so that's why your program like that is so important, you know, they're in college or maybe law, so what is my major? How am I going to, what's the connect? You know, connections are so important in the industry. I mean, that's like, wow, that's,
it's all, you know, it's,
I don't even know.
It's all relationship-based, you know, this industry.
Yeah.
We my sister went to a program that Harvard does called Harvardwood, and they just have a fantastic connection within, you know, within alumni, within students, and how they really help each other in this Hollywood industry. And, you know, coming from Howard University, where so many people are really, Howard really has a strong, I would say the strongest presence of Black people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Americans in the industry, but there was a disconnect. You know, I moved here. It wasn't one organization I could tap into and get help. You know, so we wanted to make it easier for those people in school. That's where it starts. You know, at the university level, at college level, that's how you're going to be able to get more Oscar winners and more Black directors. You've got to get them at that point. You can't just wait till they get to LA and New York, and then, you know, it's too late. You know, so.
Mm-hmm. Well, talking about collaborations, let's talk about Brown Paper Dolls. How did you get connected with the two other women in the group to start Brown Paper Dolls, the company?
You know, I was really blessed to, you know, when you get these divine partnerships, you know it, you know, and you realize, okay, this was bigger, this was meant to be. Brown Paper Dolls, my two partners, they're also from Chicago. And we just have our skill set and our background is very unique and it's very complementary. Dana Gills, my producing partners, went to Spelman, and then Jeanette McDuffie went to Florida A&M University. So I knew them from Chicago. Jeanette and Dana are like very, very old friends. Their parents were friends.
Yes.
But then we all kind of got connected. Jeanette and I lived in L.A. and Dana connected us. And we were all kind of on the same page. You know, you get tired of going to these panels and these conversations and there's no Black people and how come we have no Black film, we have no Black TV, and, you know, and we just got to a point
absolutely
like, okay.
Ridiculous. Yeah, absolutely. Ridiculous,
yeah, we just,
right?
Point. We got to that point where we just all were on the same page and we started working together. Before we even named our company, we just started to work. And we worked from sun up to sundown. Dana was living in New York and I'm not sure what took over us at that point because we had no reason to work. You know, I mean, I can't even see us. Yeah, but it was really, because when they called me, I was already writing a script. I was already in that mode. So God kind of set it up where I was already ready to go, and they were ready to go. And we just started working on Milk and Honey. It wasn't called Milk and Honey at that time, but we were like, let's work on something that, you know, Jeanette can direct. Jeanette's a director. She went to USC for directing, and something Dana can produce. Dana's at UCLA for producing, grad program, and something Asha can be in. And that was it. That was the whole point.
Yeah.
And Milk and Honey was born.
I think that was so beautiful. And one of the reasons I wanted to have you on is a lot of times women being friends and partners, sometimes they're not able to do that successfully for whatever reasons. So to highlight that it can happen, that it is possible that women can work together, that specifically Black women can work together and produce a beautiful show or production or a piece of art. Let me just talk about the series a little bit. Wow. Woo. Sizzle. Okay, all right. Pull my collar. You know, we got to talk about you kissing Lance Gore. Okay, what's how was it? And don't tell me, oh, you know, all the cameras are around, and I was really nervous, and I couldn't really concentrate. It was just, you know, I wasn't really focusing about. I was thinking about hot dogs. No, what happened, dude? Come on.
Okay, I'm going to give you the inside scoop, Joy. Okay,
yeah,
haven't said to anyone. Okay. It was fantastic. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. But, I mean, Lance is a great friend, but even better, he's a fantastic. He's very attractive, for sure, you know, but I really respect Lance. You know, I have the utmost respect for him. I mean, we went to school together, although he is a little older than I'm joking. But anyway, but yeah, he's you know, I have great respect for Lance. So I mean, and that's perk of the job, to be honest with you. It's a perk, you know. Yeah, we kissed and it was fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah. Debbie Allen, were you scared? Because she is like fierce. What? Don't play. And she worked that character. You know, I mean, it's a short little piece, but it's very powerful. You guys, I like the way you edited it. How was it working with Debbie Allen on the production?
Your question was I scared of Miss Allen? That is correct. Am I still scared of Miss Allen? That would be correct. I have a long, Miss Allen's a mentor of mine. I mean, I have this joke about her because she was a professor at Howard and while I was there, and I couldn't get into the class, so I walked her to class every day. I met her where she parked her car, and I walked her to class, and I didn't know that she really knew me, you know, and then I stayed in touch with her. I've probably known all of Miss Allen's assistants in the last 10 years or so, because I've stayed in touch with her, you know, and I think that's your job when you're the mentee. You know, it's your job to stay in touch, you know, and then she, you know, and I just have this, Miss Allen, honestly, when you asked me that question, who were those mentors, those pivotal, and I remember watching Fame. I mean, because Miss Allen exists, I knew, okay, I can do both these things, because I didn't have to pick. Oh, I can only be an actress, and I can only be a dancer, and I can only, because of her, I said, I can do it all. And when everybody told me you couldn't, I said, well, what about Debbie Allen? And they were quiet. So I have a strong affinity for Miss Debbie Allen. Strong. Oh, yeah. Love her.
All right. Yes. Now we got to get to another hottie that you're working with, the executive producer on the show, one of the biggest hotties in Hollywood right now, Idris Elba. Come on now. Was your
palm
sweating? Was your heart beating? I mean, when you got the phone call, what? Tell me what happened here. How did you make that connection?
Well, you know, actually, Idris. My partners and I. We really respect Idris. I mean, to a whole nother level. We just, you know, you really can, you know, even before you know actors, you can feel what type of actor they are and what kind of intellect they have based on the choices they pick as actors, you know. So all of his choices, we just were like, wow, you know. And Jeanette, my partner, worked with him. I think she worked on Daddy's Little Girls, and then Dana had some working experiences with him. And then when we got our opportunity, and it was just like a chance, you know, opportunity. That we met him, actually Dana ran into him, and he was on our, you know, we really, my partners and I believe in vision, we have vision boards, we're the vision board queen, so boards, and, you know, and Idris was always on that board, and he was always that person, because we were writing a show that was for women, especially, you know, women of color, so when you think about who would you want, you know, to spearhead that, this effort, this movement, I mean, there's really nobody else, you know what I mean, it's Elba, and that's it. And not to mention the great respect we have for him. So when we get an opportunity, you know, I always tell people, you have to be prepared. I mean, I've heard that many times before.
Oh, yes. Preach. Come on. No, you really do. Be ready.
That's what happened. We prepared. We were developing this show for 4 years. I mean, I know it's a web series, and people just throw stuff up on the web, and it's the web. It's quick. And I believe in that. I believe in just getting stuff done. But we worked on this. I mean, we worked all night, all day. We had character Bibles, and you name it. I mean, we had it. So when we met with him, the product, you know, we felt the product was strong, you know. And I to be honest with you, and I know this is going to sound cocky and it's not cocky, but because I knew the work was behind it, I knew Idris was going. Once we met him, I knew, you know, we knew. We said, okay, well, I'm not sure my partners knew. I think they did, but I was like, this, we have, it's done.
It's done.
We're so blessed that Idris can see it. You know, a lot of people can't see it, you know, before it happens. Yeah. And Idris, I mean, he is like an essential part of our team. He's essential. He's not just
So you said the key thing is that you did your homework and you had to be prepared. I will tell you an incident just recently. I got an opportunity to go to the United Nations. And it happened in 24 hours for a conference to raise awareness about female genital mutilation. But if you prepared, you know, I had already done different interviews. War Theory was on talking about her incident. Ayan Hirsi Ali has been on talking about, you know, her work in that area. But, again, you have to have done your homework.
Absolutely.
And that opportunity could knock, and you're not ready. You're like, no. You got to be... What, you know, one of the great books I read, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People.
Yes.
And in there it talks about sharpen your saw. And sharpening your saw means, you know, training all aspects of your life. You know, you have to keep it sharp so that when it's time to cut, you're ready. If your blade is dull, you know, they go next, especially in the entertainment industry. I think we got a caller on the line on the switchboard. Let me see if they have a question. Good evening, 619 area code. Do you have a question? Hello? Okay, I guess they just wanted to listen. That's okay. You can listen. I see the people in the chat room. Thanks for tuning in. It's okay. I'm going to be giving away a Carol's Daughter gift package this evening. So you want to follow at Joy Keys on Twitter, and you want to become a fan on Facebook, just look up Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. Also, I want to encourage you to check out AshaKamali.com. Check out Milk and Honey series. They're doing some great work. They're really highlighting some beautiful. I mean, the black people, I love it. They look so beautiful. I love that. I'm serious. And look, I am not, prejudiced against, white people, Latino people, Asian, whatever. But I want to see, when I see a movie with or entertainment with beautiful black, they look beautiful because we are beautiful. And that's the quality of your work. It's not, the lighting is not off, because a lot of times black people get messed up with the lighting,
Right.
Talk to the audience about that.
That's funny you said that. That was really important to us. Shout out to our fantastic DP, cinematographer, Sean Connedy. We were very particular, about the cinematography and lighting us correctly. And my partner, the director, Jeanette McDuffie, that's really her area. She's probably, her and Sean, they came up with a plan. And, she really is very, 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 keyed in on that, because she thinks that so often it's basic, like we're not lit correctly, and it's just, you would think it's just 101, but it's not hard to light black people. You just have
the industry, the technology now is just amazing. And why is it, I wanted to ask this question about the Oscar situation, because recently Viola Davis was up against Meryl Streep there, and then Octavia won the Oscar for supporting, and God bless her. But, it's like, do we don't exist? There was no black males in lead or supporting. What's your feeling about this, and how can we change this in the industry?
Well, the only way we're going to change it, we're going to have to take some control, It starts really way before the Oscars. By the time it gets to the Oscars, we're just seeing the result of what's happening. And we're not in it. We have no control in this industry. Mm-hmm. There's not one person of color that greenlights films. Honestly, in all the conversations we've had about Milk and Honey, we've been fortunate to have great conversations with TV and with great web companies and with film companies. And there's not one, aside from, those black networks, there's not one black executive that has the full power and control to greenlight a television show, at a major network.
Why is that? Why is that? That's amazing. Why? There's tons of Hollywood stars. Okay, look at Idris. Look at Denzel. Look at Don Cheadle. Look at Viola Davis. Look at all these stars. They're making money. Will Smith. Why can't they all work together?
Well, what happens is that the
Perry,
the executive level, what happens is, that's why we do Howard Wood and FAMU Wood and College Wood, because at the executive level, you have to start early. So when our counterparts, when they're at Harvard or Princeton or Yale or wherever they are, they're getting internships at NBC or they're getting internships at Fox, sophomore year. They make a call to uncle whoever or aunt whoever, and they're in. And then not only that, when they're creating content, they actually are aware of what these networks are looking for. So they're watching the upfront. A lot of college students don't even know what upfronts are. They don't know that an upfront happens, and that's where the networks, announce their slate of shows. And they don't understand that you have to actually create content with that in mind. If you're not doing that, you're not even on the bubble. You're not even in the bubble. You're way on the outside. So we're not, there was black content creators and we're just creating stuff we want to see, but we've got to create stuff that actually is getting made. Because if you're in that lane, there's like 5 or 6 tentpoles that the networks are making right now. But you have to know these things, They're into fantasy now. They're into, before it was vampires. Like, if you're not on that tentpole, you're making
you
is
gotta
made.
You gotta be aware. You gotta keep multifaceted too, because the more skill set, the larger your skill set and the sharper your sword is, so to speak, you will definitely succeed. And that's why I think Milk and Honey was able to get Idris, because, like you said, you did your homework. But it's also important you keep doing the college tour to encourage these, young people. I know you're younger than I'm, but what I'm saying? become aware, and sometimes you don't know you don't know. We don't know everything.
It's knowledge. Honestly, it's knowledge. It's relationships. what we don't have access to, and it's access. And if you have those things, then you're way ahead. But you can't start when you're, you know, 23 and 24, and you move to really 19, 18.
Yeah.
You have to understand this industry, and you got to understand how it goes. You got to make these valuable relationships. I mean, if I had known, if there was a Howard Wood that existed, or there was any type of program that existed while I was at Howard, I mean, I would be that much ahead of the game. I really would have been. You know, and just you have to create, you know, you look at all the most successful actors, you know, the Ashton Kutchers, the Ben Stillers, or, you know, or whomever, the Drew Barrymores, they're all creating content. They're all producers, executive producers of everything they make.
Cool.
I mean, a Will Smith, that's what he does. So, I mean, you just, the dynamic of an actor, in my opinion, an actor is an entrepreneur. But entrepreneur, there's no genre of entrepreneurs that where their business is relying on waiting for someone to buy what they have. I mean, it just,
exactly.
That makes sense. Every entrepreneur, the whole they're proactive. So I mean, it's just kind of like you have to figure that out. And once I figured that out, you know, of course I still audition. Of course I still, you know, want to be involved with other people's projects. But the energy it takes to just keep spinning my wheel and say, hey, hire me, it, at the end of the day, that's not how you become successful. So even though people want to start and then they want to eventually get to, you know, Drew Barrymore or whomever and then start creating later, but you have to start now. So, I mean, that would be my advice to any actor. Just, you know, take control of your entrepreneur, you know, take control of your of your career. Yeah.
Well, I want to thank you. Thank you so much for coming on this evening. I know we're getting close to the time. And some of the things we talked about this evening, if you're just tuning in, you know, keeping your sword sharp, you know, increasing your skill set, being aware, being knowledgeable, you know, read the industry magazines, watch, you know, go to these different workshops, make these relationships that are so important. But also if you know a young person who's interested in the industry that they need to start early, start introducing them to a variety of things early. Get them connected with Asha Kamali and tell Asha to come to your school. If you have a young person in college right now, say, you know, Asha, bring your program to, you know, my son, my daughter, my niece, my nephew's school because they want to get in the industry. But I want to encourage you to follow her on Twitter. She's Asha Kamali on Twitter. Also, her website, ashakamali.com. And also check out milkandhoneyseries.com. And they need your money to continue the series. It's an awesome, well-edited, beautiful, the Black people look really gorgeous on this short series. So please support the program, milkandhoneyseries.com.
We need as many people to watch, if I can say one more thing, as many people to watch the series as possible. We are independent finance filmmakers, so we always are in fundraising mode. So if you want to make a donation, just go to our website or email us at info@brownpaperdolls.com, and we'll tell you where, you know, you can go on our website. So, yeah.
Awesome.
Okay.
Great. But thank you so much. I hope you have a wonderful evening and much success. Please stay in touch. If you have any other projects coming up, I'd love to have you back on the show.
Thank you so much, Joy. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay, you too. Bye-bye. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Again, follow Asha Kamali on Twitter. Check out their webpage, Milk and Honey Series. And also check out that you can make a donation there on their website there. Thank you so much. I want to thank you all getting past the 82,000 downloads of the podcast. So I appreciate your support. Follow me on Twitter, @JoyKeys. Become a fan on Facebook. And send me an email. My email is SaturdaysWithJoyKeys@hotmail.com.
Muscle aches, rashes.
To find an answer.
Hair loss. I'm so tired.
You need to ask your doctor the right question.
Could I have lupus?
For answers, for support, for hope, visit couldihavelupus.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Office on Women's Health and the Ad Council.